This is the Oanda Podcast.
This is the Oanda Market Insights Podcast, talking to Oanda senior market analysts from across the world. And I'm delighted to say that today it is Ed Moyer in New York. Good afternoon from London, Ed. How are you doing?
Greetings from the US. I'm doing wonderful. We had quite the impressive non-farm payroll report, and I'm looking to dive into it with you.
Yes, very good news for the US economy. More jobs than expected in July as employment rose by 943,000. And that was quite a bit beyond the expected consensus, wasn't it?
Very much so. The report, it had everything positive for the economy. It had, you know, the best employment hiring that we've seen in about a year. More importantly, we saw significant declines in temporary job losses and permanent ones. So I think that really shows that the economy is headed towards that substantial progress goal that the Fed has. And when you take a look, I think one of the biggest fears for this market is inflation and the rise in wages. And when you kind of dig down in the report, you can see that a good chunk of the increase in wages is coming from lower paying jobs, which is not inflationary. So I think you're probably seeing, you know, this market is now kind of feeling confident that we're going to have the Fed probably be announcing a taper decision, not at Jackson Hole. I think September was kind of the earliest people thought it could be. I think September is on the table. If you listen to the Fed's, you know, policy lingo at the last meeting, they said it would take meetings, so plural, for them to make a decision. So some are arguing that that means it has to be after September. I think September is on the table, just given that you're seeing the unemployment rate improve significantly. And I think if we hit 5.1% in September, I think then that gives the Fed the green light to announce tapering. So unemployment rate currently at 5.4%, you know, that came in so much better than expected. So it was just a very solid report. And I think that there was some nervousness coming in as we had, a big downward miss with ADP. And right now, I think markets are screaming the reopening trade. The steepener is back, and you're seeing a strong dollar. You're seeing global bond yields rise across the board. And it's been a very upbeat report, and you're probably going to see there's still, I think, a lot more optimism for this economy. Republicans and Democrats, they're still trying to push forward with that infrastructure spending bill. So we're still going to get more stimulus, at least on the fiscal side of things. And I think there's a lot to be constructive about this economy still going forward, and that's why we're seeing, for the most part, risk on is in place for the cyclical trade. The Russell 2000 doing quite well, obviously with surging treasury yields. It's not good news for big tech, so you're seeing the Nasdaq a little bit weaker.
Isn't there a slight caveat though with these numbers, Ed? Because the figures mainly predate the rise of the Delta variant in the US. Obviously, there's been a recent surge in infections, particularly in certain states, and there are fears that new restrictions could be imposed. Now, looking a bit deeper into these figures, there were big gains in sectors including leisure and hospitality, which would be the first to suffer should we have to impose any restrictions again.
And I think that is a big concern. And even just, kind of taking it one step further, this morning too, where we're hearing that, you know, the EU is expected to discuss reimposing travel restrictions on the U.S. So it's for a country that is, this is a two economy country, the vaccinated and unvaccinated. I think we possibly are just a week or two, maybe it's really a week, judging by some of the data, and it's still early, that we could be away from the peak of this Delta variant in the U.S. So I think there is that belief that, oh yes, that could prove to be a headwind in the short term. But I think, the U.S. has seen another another good uptick here in vaccination rates. So I think it's nowhere where it needs to be for, you know, the scientists to be happy to declare herd immunity. But I think it does point to optimism that we're getting a lot of the people that were in between, that were on the fence, to get vaccinated. And I think as the economy continues to kind of go through this current wave, there's strong optimism that, you know, we're in a position where I think a lot of businesses are going to fully expect to reopen in October. I think, you know, we've heard some banks, Wells Fargo, push their reopening to October from September. Amazon not expecting to have that in the office environment until January, possibly. So I think you're still going to have, you know, this market is going to be heavily impacted by the current wave. And, you know, as we, you know, get used to the Delta variant peaking, you know, there's concerns that we have the Zeta variant start possibly emerging. So it's going to take a while to really get beyond COVID. But I think where you have so much of the population now vaccinated, and I think the unvaccinated part of the country is getting COVID. So I think you're going to see a strong, I think, expectation that normal economic activity is going to really intensify, I think, in a month or two. And, you know, you throw that along with more infrastructure support from the government, and there is still, I think, a lot of pent-up demand. I think if you take a look at some of the spending we're seeing, I think there's still signs that we're going to get another good burst, I think, as we close out summer. There's a good expectations for this economy to run hot. And I think right now, if you take a look at, you know, the concern about the current wave, you know, the South has still had tremendous summer vacationing occur. Florida, the epicenter right now of the Delta variant, you know, it's peak vacation season. So I am skeptical that we'll see a big downturn in that leisure and hospitality hiring. So still, I think a lot of optimism here for those for more positions to get filled in these coming months. And I think you're probably going to see this today's market reaction. Sometimes, you know, it's short-lived. You know, we then kind of have a lot of these gains give up. But no, I think this is the beginning of probably a sustained move for next week. So it'll be interesting to see if that, you know, does turn out to be the case. But there is a lot more optimism here, and I think you're going to see a lot of investors kind of reallocate their portfolios to reflect that.
And I wonder if they're looking at the UK as an example of a country which decided to take a bit of a punt, to say the least, open things up even when, you know, COVID cases and the Delta variant was on the rise. Because, as you said, there are many who think that the variant has now peaked in the US. It certainly seems to have peaked in the UK. And things are a lot more optimistic than they were 2 or 3 weeks ago here, when they were talking about, you know, 100 to 200,000 daily COVID rates and so on. And the Boris Johnson government, you know, took a gamble, and it's fortunately paid off. And they've probably looked at the UK in the US and thought, well, if it follows the same pattern, we're going to be okay.
Very much so. I think there's a lot of optimism here for the UK, and you're probably going to see that that's really leading the dominance, I think, over some currency trader bets, you know, just shorting euro sterling. I think there's a lot more upside here in the short term for the UK. And when you take into consideration monetary policy stances right now, you know, the ECB turned dovish, and right now, you know, this week we saw the BOE. They took their first step in acknowledging some modest tightening would be needed. And I think that is really going to provide, I think, a lot more optimism here that, you know, they're going to be tightening in the coming years. And you're going to see that was reflected in their forward guidance and upbeat forecasts.
Yeah, and some economists have been arguing that the bank should, you know, start to rein in the stimulus program. But as you said, there was no change. And if you look at the vote, 7-1 voted in favour of keeping the number of £875 billion going, one vote against. And the bank's former chief economist, Andy Haldane, called for a cut before he left after the June meeting. But for the time being, it's going to stay as it is. No interest rate rise, of course. But there were some warnings about inflation, although at the same time, they're not too worried about the rise in prices, are they?
No, Broadbent clearly noting that inflation rise is likely to be temporary. And I think that's the consensus there. That's the consensus here.
The US and the UK have followed an extremely similar pattern over the last few months. And in many respects have gone the other way compared with the rest of the world. And on both counts have, you know, made the right calls.
Very much so. And I think this is I think it goes to show that, you know, the both approaches on tackling the virus are now, you know, I think paying off. And there's, I think, a lot more optimism here when you take a look at, you know, yields. You know, like if you're a German investor, I mean, the 30-year bond, when it turned negative, the yield that is, this week, that really drew a lot of attention. And I think, you know, if you're an investor, you're going to see better opportunity here in treasuries or in gilts. And I think there's so much more potential here once you start to see markets start to become more aggressive in this tightening trade. So no, I think it's you know, both are similar stories, and hopefully both can you know, have that economic growth that helps, you know, drive that trade.
Going back to the US, what's happening in the bond market after those NFP numbers?
Well, the treasury yield curve is steepening, and you're seeing the 10-year yield, it's up over 7 basis points. You know, it looks like we're going to hit 130. And I think that trade, you know, was dangerously close to having more panic in the market. You know, we almost saw the 10-year yield break 112, and there was no support until 1%. That really was surprising a lot of traders. One hedge fund blew up, I think you're probably seeing that now. The economic recovery seems to be on track, and there's a lot more optimism here that the reopening trade is going to withstand this current wave of the virus and is likely to continue going forward. And we're probably going to see the steepener remain the trade throughout the rest of the year.
Let's switch subjects and talk about Bitcoin, Ed, which has surged over the last few days. And last time I looked, it was around the $40,000 mark.
Bitcoin mania is back. I think we're also seeing a strong performance post non-farm payroll. And sometimes when you take a look at, you know, Bitcoin's behavior, on a day where you see no need for safe havens, no real inflationary hedge opportunities emerge from the data, you typically don't see Bitcoin do too well. You know, for instance, like gold is having one of its worst days in quite some time. Gold is down on 2.5%, and that trade is getting a little bit ugly right now. But Bitcoin has really started to draw much attention, that it's now back towards the upper boundaries of its tight trading range that's been in place since mid-May. And it looks like that institutional interest, that story is not going away anytime soon. And I think what's really driving the market today is Ethereum. Ethereum just had their latest network upgrade, making it more cost efficient, you know, really, I think, addressing some of those unlimited supply concerns, and more importantly, turning green. So I think there's a lot more upside here for Ethereum, but it's very positive news for the entire cryptoverse, and you're seeing Bitcoin and Ethereum rise in tandem here. And I think there's some excitement that, you know, if we do break above the, you know, the upper boundaries of that tight trading range, the momentum trading could really accelerate here. There's a lot of money that's been on the sidelines, and they've been waiting to buy the bullish breakout. And if that's starting to emerge, you could see that trade really take off.
Very interesting, Ed. Let's look ahead to the next week or so. What are the standout events and the highlights that we should have our close eye on?
Well, next week is an interesting week. We have a couple rate decisions. We have lots of economic data. I think on the economic data side, the focal point will be on U.S. CPI, U.K. GDP. And I think inflationary pressures are, you know, that debate continues, and anything that supports the argument that it's persistent could just accelerate central bank tightening. I think the growth rebound in the UK is looking good, and I think there's a lot more focus right now as far as the rest of the world and the Delta variant, and exactly, you know, are we starting to see more peaks with that current wave? As I, you know, previewed before, central bank decisions, there's going to be a heavily watched one from Turkey. President Erdogan's been pushing for rate cuts. It looks like, you know, this hotter than expected CPI data is going to really complicate that central bank's mission. I think expectations are for them to hold, which will not make Erdogan happy, who's, you know, no stranger in sacking central bank governors that don't do what he wants. So that's going to be closely watched. Mexico central bank's expected to tighten. If the emerging markets are now in a position where they're entering an accelerated tightening mode, that could be very good for their respective currencies. So that's going to be important to watch. I think on the oil front, you're going to see we're still in hurricane season. There's not been much activity this week, it seems. I think you're going to have many traders focused, though, on Iran's president, Raisi. He's taken office. He's been inaugurated just yesterday. And there's been some comments as far as a more conciliatory tone as far as welcoming a resumption of Iran nuclear deal talks. So that's going to be, I think, the focal point for oil next week. And you're probably going to see, there's going to be a close watch on treasury yields, you know, to see, you know, does, you know, this move higher in yields, you know, stay. And if we do take that 130, does that mean 135 is achieved early? And eventually you can start to see some people become a little bit more cautious on equities, just kind of fearing that taper tantrum, which we probably won't see a repeat from that we did last decade. But I think, surging yields is not really good for stocks. So we'll wait to see exactly how that trade unfolds. So a busy week. And I think you're going to probably see a lot of investors will really pay close attention to how the market reacts on Monday.
Excellent, Ed. Have a very good weekend. Thanks for joining us. And we'll speak to you again soon.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Johnny.
The Oanda Podcast.